So we're on Ascension Sunday, which has one of those Sundays that we preach every year because we celebrate it every year. It has its own feast day and all of those things. And as such, I'm always stuck with my first thought, and it's, I don't know if you've heard this theory, but the theory is that your first thought is what you're culturally accustomed to, what you've been taught, and your second thought is what's actually true. Which is a helpful thing, and it does make sense. You know, if you grow up in a home where people use unpleasant language to describe others, ethnic groups, whatever it might be, and even though your parents got over it and all that, you hear that, it's not impossible that your first thought will be that unpleasant one, but you immediately fix it. And that's what you truly believe is your second thought, which is good, because my first thought, whenever we come to this Sunday, Trinity Sunday, any of these, I say, what am I going to say that's new? That's what I'm culturally culturally driven to think. And then I step back to the real truth, which is I'm not here to tell you anything new. I'm here to tell you what the Bible says for today. And maybe it'll be something you've heard before. Maybe it'll be something you've heard before, but from a different angle, whatever it is. I don't have to come up with anything new because I can't. Really smart people have been reading the Bible for thousands of years. The chances of me coming up with something new is absolutely zero. So instead, I want to talk about he went, but is he gone? Because Jesus did go. Now, we have all kinds of interesting things happening. And once again, we are given an insight into what it must be like to be an angel. Angels show up hither and thither in the Bible. And you can tell that they don't interact with human beings very often because the first thing they say is always dumb. Imagine you're a shepherd, you're out in the... Suddenly the sky lights up with angels and the first thing they tell you is don't be afraid. Well, come on. Of course you're going to be afraid. This is like, it's like a volcano. Here we have these two men in white, obviously angels. What do they say? Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? Because one of our friends just went up into it. Of course we're going to be looking into the sky. What a silly thing to say. But nonetheless, we'll pass over the inability of angels to understand what it is to be a human being. And instead, let's look at this whole idea of Jesus ascending. And when we think about it, and I'm not talking about sort of the mechanics of the going up. I mean, that's surprising enough in its own way. But really, what was going through the minds of the disciples? And from then, looking forward to us, what's going through our minds? It wouldn't be unreasonable for the disciples to think, Jesus is gone, we may as well be done. They've done it once before. After the crucifixion, remember, Peter decided, it's all over, I'm going to go fishing. And then they encountered the risen Christ. So it wouldn't be unreasonable for them to do the same thing when Jesus ascended in this miraculous and no doubt spectacular way. But they didn't. Why? Well, they didn't for two reasons. And the first reason is what Jesus talked to them about. And he says, you know that this is written already. You didn't understand it before, but I'm here to tell you that it was written that the Christ, Messiah, he's talking about himself, would suffer, die, but be raised from the dead on the third day. And then you would receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is referenced in lots of different ways all through the Old Testament. It's not a new thing. It didn't just appear at Pentecost. And what Jesus is reminding them is that the Holy Spirit is going to come. And in one of the other Gospels, Jesus specifically says that I'm leaving that the Holy Spirit might come. And it's not that they can't both be there at the same time. That would be silly. It's that if Jesus is still there, it's going to be very hard for them to depend on the Holy Spirit because they're always going to go back to what they already know. It's like when you learn anything hard. riding a bicycle, doing a heart transplant, I don't know, whatever it is that you've learned that was hard, at some point, you had to do it on your own. Maybe with somebody there, maybe not. At some point, you had to do whatever it was on your own. And in many ways, and for many people, that's when they realize they have become what they were planning to be, when they could do it on their own. Now, in this case, it's not just the disciples weren't just on their own. The Holy Spirit was there. But they were learning how, and were now forced to, if you will, to live in the power of the Spirit, not just in the power of the example of Jesus, who was right there and they could ask him questions. And when we look in our Ephesians reading, our epistle lesson, we see all of these things that came from Jesus, even though Jesus is gone. Paul says that because of this, because Jesus left and the Spirit of wisdom has come, you have eyes of your heart that are now enlightened. You have the riches of his glorious inheritance. His incomparably great power is within you. All of these things happened after Jesus went. So he went, but is he gone? Well, yes and no. You can't. The disciples couldn't go to Jesus and ask him things. But their memory of what Jesus said was still there, and they had the additional gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a similar thing. This is not the same by any means. But my father died in 2007, a few years back. But I didn't forget him the second he died. I still remember him. And I still talk to him, with him. Not in any kind of sense that I think he's there. That's not part of my belief structure. It's that when I speak out loud the kinds of things I would say to my dad often, I remember something he would have said, or that he said, that would be similar to this situation. And while the disciples had all of that plus the Holy Spirit, when Jesus left, his physical, his corporeal being was gone. But he wasn't gone any more than my dad is gone, or any of the people on the wall are gone. I read an interesting thing a long time ago. I wish I could remember who said it. But they said, as long as someone remembers you, you are never truly gone. And I thought, what a wonderful way to think about things. You know, and it's not that I have this idea that if I think hard enough, or I don't know, turn circles enough or whatever else it might be, suddenly my mother or my father will pop up. No, it's not like that. But I don't need that either. I had the great good gift of many years with my parents. And we got along quite well for, well, most of them. There was that spot about 14 to 19 that was a little rocky, especially for me and my dad. But still, we did speak in each other's presence. I don't know if you'd call it talking back and forth. It was more arguing, but whatever it might be. And I have all of those things to fall back on. The disciples had all of Jesus' teaching. And in their case, because they were given a special task, the Holy Spirit was upon them to remember Jesus' words and to give them the gifts that they needed to accomplish what they'd been asked to do. So when Jesus went, not only was he not gone, but in one sense, there was more of him. Because one of the things that happened when Jesus allowed himself to become a human being through the mystery of the incarnation, fully human, fully God, however that works, he was only in one place at one time. He could only interact with the people who could hear and see him. There was no television. There was no radio. You had to be there. But when he left, his disciples moved out. And they taught the same things, gifted by the Holy Spirit to remember what Jesus had said and to know what Jesus would say in this particular situation, whatever that situation might be. And so suddenly, the teaching, the presence, the behaviors of Jesus were in more than one place at a time. He was telling Fran earlier, I wish I could be in two places at once, because this is my last Sunday with you people, as our congregation has moved to a new place, a new time. Everything's new, and for some members of our congregation, change isn't easy. And we wanted to keep things as the same as possible. So I'll be there every Sunday and that. So I've enjoyed my time with you immensely. You're a wonderful group of people who love Jesus and are as hospitable as any I've ever met. It's been a great time to be with you and to talk about these things that matter. Because one of the things that I see here is the continuation of what happened after Jesus went. The Holy Spirit has always been. As a member of the Trinity, there's never a time the Holy Spirit was not. But the Holy Spirit works in different ways at different times. And with the coming of Pentecost, there was a broadening of the Spirit's gifts. And I'm sure your minister will talk about that next Sunday on Pentecost. But all of us have spiritual gifts. That's one of the wonderful things that happens when we move into this relationship with Jesus, empowered by that Holy Spirit. What we get are spiritual gifts. And for some people, they're flashy gifts of evangelism. Ones that see some people have been given the gifts of healing. Not one of mine. Many people have been given the gift of hospitality. And I see it at work in you as a body and as individuals. Hospitality isn't just the ability to put on a good party. That's entertaining. And entertaining is a lovely talent to have. But when it's coupled with hospitality, as it was in my mother, you have someone who can invite anyone in and make them comfortable and feel at home. And I've felt at home here. You put in the work to be welcoming, but you're also exercising those spiritual gifts you have. So Jesus went, he went up. But in a very real sense, he's not gone. We worship a living Christ. Not a physical one in front of us, but a living Christ. And it's through that Holy Spirit that Jesus promised would come upon the apostles and has now come upon us that we get to demonstrate the reality of that wonderful life that we've received. It has been a joy to open the scriptures for you. As I've said before, I don't have anything new to say necessarily, but maybe a different way of considering something, and I hope I've done that for you, because you've done it for me. I learn more about what it means to be a follower of Jesus when I interact with Jesus' followers. And so it's been a delight and a privilege to be able to preach and worship with you in this time. And I'm thankful for it. And in case I miss anybody, and for those who aren't here today, thank you each and all for all of the gifts of welcome and kindness you have given to me. Amen.